This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Resource Center. Recently, scholars from University of Malaya conducted a field experiment by sending fictitious resumes of Malay and Chinese fresh graduates differentiated by quality to real job advertisements, and there were interesting outcomes. I have here with me Dr. Lee Ho An, the Department of Development Studies, Faculty of Economics Administration from the University of Malaya. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Frida. Happy to be here.
And I know you've been on other shows as well, but this is a very recent study that you all have done, and you have done this together with Muhammad Abdul Khalid from University Kebangsaan.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit of background about what prompted this and the history behind it?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much again. This study, we just presented our findings on Friday, and it's generated quite a response. I just want to start out, you know, by making an appeal and a few broad points. First appeal is for
no,
we own appeal. Up to it.
Okay,
yeah, we
are, right.
Well, we will appeal for cooler heads to prevail.
Right.
This topic is emotional and sensitive enough, but I think we can handle.
Yeah.
At least we can try.
Yeah.
And we really must try to handle our discourse in a way that is tempered and reasonable. Now, this study is about point number one. This study is about racial discrimination, not racism. Not
mm-hmm.
bigotry, but racial discrimination. You might ask, what is the difference? We have focused through this field experiment on this kind of scenario where there are equivalent qualities of resumes, except that one is Chinese and one is Malay. Is there a significant difference between mm-hmm. the chances that the Chinese gets called for interview and the Malay resume gets called for interview,
right?
So we are not targeted on why this happens. That would have to be another study.
Okay.
But at the moment, and this has to be the first stage, to just find out empirically and in an objective manner the prevalence and the forms and shapes of racial discrimination. This study has been done before, studies using this methodology in the UK, in the US, in India, Australia, France, and other countries. So the methodology, you know, has been validated.
Mm-hmm.
And these are serious academic studies that have been reviewed and have been published. So we drew on that and, of course, modified it to our circumstances. And our findings are based on 3,012 resumes sent to 753 job ads. So these are real job ads, and we went out to get them. Well, I'm sure I'll fill in all the details, but I just wanted to, you know, set that out, you know, here, make that clear at the onset that, you know, what we're saying is based on 3,012 resumes sent to 753 job ads. I think that gives us quite a solid basis for our findings, and it's not a, it's a substantial study.
Right.
You did ask about why, so let me get to that. I think this is a very important one. It's why did we venture into this study? Simply to arrive at a better understanding, to arrive at a deeper understanding of this very, yes, difficult issue.
Mm-hmm.
All the more when, you know, I think more people tend to hold views based on just their own experience or anecdotal evidence or hearsay. And I'm not questioning those, the legitimacy of those, but still in a very limited way. And we don't have any study that has broad enough scope that we could really make a more credible assessment about the labor market entry experience of graduates. So we wanted to find empirical evidence to inform this issue. And there is no political agenda whatsoever.
It's from UM, right?
I mean, it should go without saying, but yet at the same time, I think I just need to make that clear.
Okay.
I also want to, sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, also, this is the beginning, you know, this is not the last word, and we don't pretend to have the definitive answer. I think we do find some very useful and relevant and substantiated data, but you know, yeah, this is our little contribution, and we are not pretending to have the final answer.
Right. So there's over 3,000 resumes sent to over 753 job ads. Over how long a period was this?
We sent the jobs over about a 5-month period in late 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent them to jobs in engineering, or classified as engineering jobs, as well as accounting jobs. So that's not the accounting sector, or not the financial sector or accounting firms, but accounting jobs in firms or across the whole spectrum.
Companies that needed accounting expertise and all that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, another thing as well, this was done between the Malays and the Chinese. Is there a reason why the Indians were not covered? We're talking about, of course, we could go on about the other racial groups, but I guess the main racial groups in Peninsula Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah. When we were conceiving the project, we had to, I mean, we entered in with some trepidation, you know, being uninitiated, and this was the first time it was ever done here. And so while we wanted to have that kind of reach and be able to incorporate more groups. Yeah, as you said, it could go on and on. If we had a third group, then
why not
others as well? But just to keep it manageable, I mean, okay, I would firstly have to say that, you know, the issue is with, well, I know, most acute, right?
Right.
Between the Chinese, because of you know, Chinese owned business, and I suppose at the first stage, between the issue of a Chinese and non Chinese, if I could, you know, make it general, I think that would be a fair thing to say. So we didn't want to shy from that. We wanted to confront that directly, and if it was at the first stage, the most important frontier, if I can put it, would be Chinese and Malay.
Mm-hmm.
We were thinking of including others, but just because of both time and budget constraints, we were not able to. We decided just to get a good hold on this, you know, one study in a more, with just two groups.
And I think if you look at the population size, it's largely first of all Malays and then followed by the Chinese. So I guess the larger racial groups.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think maybe I can just start to explain how it was done, because when I'm talking about, you know, it being manageable, what we did was to send 4 resumes to job ads.
Mm-hmm.
So every job ad received 4 resumes, and we obtained the resumes. So we procured access to a database of real ones. So we are basing it on, you know, real resumes that have been placed out there, changing the identity and address and all those features, and then we made sure that every job ad received 2 from Chinese, 2 from Malay, and then among the 2, one would be what we call above average,
mm-hmm.
meaning having a grade point average, cumulative grade point average, CGPA between 3.2 and 4, that's above average, and then one is what we call below average, a CGPA of 2.2 to 3.1. So then that applies for both the Malay and Chinese, right? Now this, I need to stress this, because what we did was that, so every job ad received was for half of them, of the Malay especially, needs to be emphasized, had a CGPA of between 3.2 and 4.0.
Qualifications-wise, it'll be equivalent, from the Chinese and from the Malays.
Yeah, I mean, we chose CGPA because of its importance, I think, in these sectors, for these type of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any job, it varies. It's not the only thing. But we also found that, yeah, those with higher CGPA also tend to have, you know, other strengths as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their activities in school, leadership, and just the presentation of the resume.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then we sent every job ad these 4, and then we recorded which ones got called for interview.
Right. So in your so what were the findings? So we were just getting to the stage called for interview.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
And when they were called for interview, you all had to reply to these people and said what?
We just recorded if we received a call.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
So we didn't go for the interview.
Right.
But it wouldn't really matter because as. Unless there's some reason that there would be these calls for one group and not
okay.
for another or calling for different reasons.
Right. Okay. But
so we just recorded if there was a call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what were the outcomes?
Well, we found that there was a substantial difference in the callback. Overall, I mean, there's a lot of numbers that I can rattle off, mm-hmm. but the overall for a Malay resume, 4.2%. Received the call. So mm-hmm. for 100 that were sent, about four got called for interview. Yeah. For Chinese resumes, out of 100 that were sent, 22 got called for interview.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you said that, okay, their scores were equivalent in terms of their results, the extracurricular activities, would it be similar as well?
Well, we had to allow for variation, mm-hmm. we didn't want to impose too much of our own judgments about
right.
what is. So we didn't strive for them being entirely identical.
Mm-hmm.
In any case we couldn't, because there's so much variation that we needed to account for. There's UITM graduates, which mm-hmm. wouldn't be Chinese. So, we couldn't have identical and
right.
then just a different name.
Okay,
and then for the the CGPA, the numbers are also randomly generated.
Okay,
but within the range.
Right.
Yeah, but as I said just now, I mean those resumes with a higher CGPA do tend to have higher, are more impressive in.
Okay.
These other areas.
All right. We'll delve into this a little deeper as to, what sort of companies, how large, and in just a moment. I'm here with Dr. Lee Hock An from University of Malaya Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Resource Center. I'm Frida Liu, and I'm halfway through a very interesting conversation. Dr. Lee Hock An from the Department of Development Studies, Faculty of Economics Administration from University of Malaya, here with me. Recently, they conducted a field study by sending fictitious resumes of Malay and Chinese fresh graduates, differentiated by quality, to real job advertisements. We're going through the outcomes, which is very interesting. Apparently, where we left off earlier on was that from the applications that came back for a call to be interviewed, 4.2% for Malays and 22% for Chinese. And just before we go deeper into this, there was a question from Ernest on SMS. Were there any resumes that were sent to government bodies for comparison?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Actually, I think I should backtrack a little bit and to clarify, because it's a what we call a field experiment, but actually what is that and what is distinctive about it? And people might have in their mind a survey. Now, this is not a survey, right? We didn't go out and ask people about their experience or what do you think about discrimination. Were you discriminated? Do you discriminate? Because that's, that would be very subjective and just opinionated. Yeah. We actually applied to jobs.
Mm.
So what we get is actually the employers' decisions, and they didn't know that we were fictitious. And also, I mean, there's maybe some reaction to when we say we sent fictitious
okay.
resumes. I mean, I explained just now that they were based on real ones, that we had changed the,
right.
the identity. So fictitious only in a sense that the person doesn't exist,
right?
But they are credible mm-hmm. resumes. I mean, it's credible enough that we have, that we got all these callbacks
okay.
for interview.
Right.
Okay. The question about the public sector. We wanted to. We really did. But we were unable to. And it was just not feasible with the way jobs are posted. public sector jobs are posted, needing you to open an account to apply. It was just involved, just too much more labor. And we also couldn't guarantee, because when you go through a jobs portal like Jobs Malaysia,
right.
And what it does is actually matches the applicant to jobs based on the applicant's preferences. We needed to be in total control that every job ad would receive the four that we wanted to send. as opposed to just leaving, posting our resumes out there and then waiting for them to be picked up, because we had to make sure that every opening, every job opening, had a look at four, those same four, which had above average Malay, one below average Malay, one above average Chinese, and one below average Chinese. So yeah, we regret that we couldn't, because it's only here on the private sector. Right. However, that does not in any way, put to question our findings. It doesn't invalidate in any way whatsoever. It's just that the perspective is incomplete. So I just want to say that because that is kind of a common reaction. Oh, you didn't look at the public sector. Yes, we didn't, but we did look at the private sector. Right. So let's just focus on what we actually found, which is limited to the private sector. And any questions about, about the method and the validity, doesn't have anything to do with whether we covered the public sector.
Were all the graduates from local universities?
Yes, that was another thing. Very good that you brought that up. The reason for that is we had to have a simple and consistent method for differentiating quality, differentiating the above average and below average. And so, one of the reactions is that, you didn't look, if there are no foreign graduates, they are of higher quality. But we had to settle on, a simple method, and we chose the CGPA. Mm-hmm. And so if we had overseas graduates, that would complicate it, because what would be the defining feature of higher quality or being above average? Is it being from graduating from overseas university, or is it having a higher CGPA? Mm-hmm. Right, either that, or we would have had to include one foreign graduate for every job advertisement as
well.
And then
you'll go into the question of what university, from which
And so on and so forth. Yeah. So again, it came back to being manageable. But in the end, for a while, I was regretting that, but the vast majority of graduates are local. Mm. And the problems of unemployed graduates, is disproportionately local graduate problem. So what we are finding is more relevant in that sense, mm-hmm. to the problems.
Okay, so the companies that they applied to, these were, I know you said private sector, so are they local companies or foreign companies?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. After we sent the job applications and recorded the callback for interview, we had a list of companies, all the companies that we had applied to, and we obtained information from Companies Commission based on shareholders and directors, mm-hmm. and we classified them according to which group, either very evidently, and in most cases, you could see from the majority, or is most likely to exercise control. Mm-hmm. So so we have Chinese control at 64%. Mm-hmm. We got that data for 92% of the jobs that we applied for, and 11% Malay control, and 19% either foreign-owned subsidiaries.
Right.
Or subsidiaries of multinationals, or foreign local joint ventures.
Right.
So we kind of put them, we group them, and what we refer to as foreign control does include foreign and local joint ventures. And then there's a 7% of other mm-hmm. other control, Indian control, as well as some that were so balanced, 50-50 between. Race groups in Malaysia that we couldn't put them in either a Chinese control or Malay control or Indian control category.
Was there a preference then for Malay control companies to call the Malay graduates for interviews, and the same for Chinese control companies to call the Chinese graduates for interviews?
Yeah, well, you are bringing up some of the finer details and the nuances, and that's great, because I think this. Another important point that I wanted to make at the outset was, one common reaction to the study or response is that it confirms what we already know. I strongly urge, you know, listeners and everybody not to treat it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, the purpose of research is to challenge, you know, what we know or what we mm-hmm. think we know. And we certainly found out much more than we thought.
Okay.
So there's a lot more than just what so-called we know. And what when we say we know, usually it's cast in a very, very simplistic manner of one group discriminating against another. So I appeal, you know, to be open-minded, to be critically minded. But it's not so simplistic. And certainly don't misuse these findings for other agendas, to examine it more closely. Right.
Okay.
So yeah, it's related to that question that you asked. Yes, Chinese-controlled companies are more likely to call Chinese
graduates.
Resumes. Malay-controlled companies in engineering. Okay, let me be precise. Okay, Malay applicant in engineering only. Okay, engineering jobs. A Malay applicant to a Malay-controlled company is more likely to get called for interview than a Malay applicant to a Chinese-controlled company.
Okay.
So these are among the things that is not what we knew.
Right. Okay. So, you know, earlier on as well, you know, at the onset of the interview, you said, you know, this is a study on racial discrimination and not racism. What's the difference? Racism stems from racial discrimination? And these are just your thoughts anyway.
Yeah. There is a very important difference. Thanks for bringing that up. And, you know, because, racial discrimination, I mean, we were looking at it, there's sort of that technical or maybe a legal definition where there is, you know, equivalent candidates, you should not discriminate, you know, by race. But of course, people think about it, you know, the associations there with racism are strong. Within this study, okay, clearly we are not looking, we are not attributing the cause of that discrimination to racism.
Right.
We cannot be denied that is a factor, mm-hmm. but it would be one of many reasons mm-hmm. that we see these differentials between right. the groups. Okay? So it's not that we completely deny the existence, but mm-hmm. it's not the focus of our study. And there's a clear difference. I mean, racism is just so much bigger. It's, you know, it's about attitudes and presumptions, and it's just amorphous, and it infects so much more than just, you know, these encounters
right.
in the labor market. So again, it is one of the possible explanations for our findings, but it's not the focus of our study. And if we want to, you know, we do not have the data from the study to say much actually about why we observe that.
I'm here with Dr. Lee Hock An from the University of Malaya, talking about a study that actually came out about what happens in the hiring process depending on what race you are. But I'm just going to refer you to an article that was written, and someone tweeted, and couple of things. They said there were flaws in this, and I just want to bring up one thing, because mm-hmm. And he said that here, this article here, Straight Times. Over 3,000, not the newspaper, just a blog page, I guess. Over 3,000 resumes were sent out. How these resumes were procured, inverted commas, was not revealed. But the researchers said they took the resumes, altered the names, and then sent out these resumes out to prospective employers. Fraudulent practices such as this should not be condoned.
Strong words. Well, I think he is raising that, you know, that there are ethical considerations. I'm actually glad that you have brought this up, because I think this is a concern and a legitimate one. And it's not something that we took lightly as well. Yes, we did send resumes of non-existent people. But we But we didn't actually agree to go for interviews. So we didn't. Companies didn't avail a slot, and then we don't show up. As long as we got a. Actually, what we did was we just recorded.
Right.
When we got a call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The ethical issues, I think, heighten a little bit for studies that actually send people for interviews. Because you are actually there in person, and for that reason, as well as it's just so much harder to manage.
Right.
You have to have two people that have to carry themselves in exactly the same way and project their strengths and restrain in the same amount. So those studies have been done. I think they are a little bit more problematic. What
right.
we have done is just really only on the resume.
And I guess
very important to follow up though is. The ethics of the study have to put in the context of the ethics of racial discrimination in society, and I will firmly defend that our findings of racial discrimination. I think the cost to society are greater than 750 companies reviewing that.
Yeah,
and we're protecting the confidentiality. And we've just conducted this in a very methodical, meticulous, and very conscientious way.
And I think it's one of those things that you hear bandied around, and no one's actually done anything around this to quantify and see if there's
an element of truth. There are not many other ways that we know of now, to have this kind of credible.
All right. I just want to read a couple of comments as well on tweet, and one of which is this because of the very, and you maybe requires an answer, maybe not, but I'll just go through. Is this because of the very root cause of the flawed education policy in Malaysia? What's your opinion as an educationist? Okay, keep that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one. Let me see. Maybe Chinese graduates give a better impression since your model's based on local universities. Non-Bumi in local universities work hard. Someone just made that comment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, what's your opinion? Is there a flawed education policy? And even when you look at ads, like certain job ads, we already can tell from the onset what a person's race is from our names, right? That's the way the country works. And you see certain job applications where, Bumi Putras are encouraged to apply. So, and that's the way things are already. So, but anyway, your opinion as an educationist, is there something, with the education system and that can be, looked into?
Yeah, okay. I think people may have in mind that there is this, disparity still. This socioeconomic disparity that by the time students graduate from university is not closed. So, Malay, Bumiputra, I think to be concrete, the average CGPA, right, would we expect to be lower than for the average Chinese graduate. So they're thinking of these kind of situations, and therefore it's not so much about race, it's about qualification.
Right.
I have to remind everyone, one quarter of our Malay resumes that we sent had a CGPA between 3.6 and 4.0. And one quarter of our Chinese resumes had a CGPA between 3.6 and 4.0. We controlled for that. We made sure that, because that's the very question that we want to ask, right? We take away the variations in quality, until the main difference, the primary difference is race. And yet, this difference. So, we don't know what situations companies are faced with, what kind of pool they are receiving.
Right.
But there's some reason, for some reason, right, they're not really giving the chance.
Mm.
Right. If we talk about, a resume is not really adequate, and people have experiences and they make assumptions about people from based on their racial identity. I mean, those things, you know, how the person is, their character, their confidence and all that. Isn't that what the interview is for? To try and find that out? And yet, they don't call for the interview.
It doesn't even get to step two, you know, just because, you know, biases were already set at the beginning, right? And I guess at the end of the day, you know, what kind of, you know, do you think, what kind of legislation that needs to be placed for this to change? You know, what do you hope to achieve? Mm-hmm. Where do you hope this will lead to?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, this is a start. You know, it's the first study of this kind, and it's limited. We do not have much to inform about why it happens, about employers and their decision-making process, and that would require another, you know, very carefully constructed and a thoughtful study. So the recommendations that arise from this study are also limited, or rather, you know, conditional on us getting a better understanding. Right. But clear, you know, but we do advocate that some form of employment equal opportunity legislation, whether it's called that or not, it doesn't really matter. But it's, you know, in taking us in that direction of clarifying what are the legal issues, where are the legal boundaries here. For instance, you mentioned about, you know, language requirements that are in job postings. In many cases, I'm sure that there are, well, I don't know, but I imagine and I think, and based on our studies, actually, you know, we do find that the language requirement, you know, is significant. But, you know, is it another interesting nugget? Okay, we talk about Chinese requirement. So we have for Chinese owned companies, it's about 36% that post, you know, Chinese language as required. And for those that we consider foreign, 35%, 22% are foreign controlled. For Malay controlled companies, 10% require Chinese. So it's not so simple again, right? And so, you know, and clearly so I was saying, you know, what I'm trying to say is that we need legislation, among other things, to say that when can you put language requirement, you know, legally? Or where is it, you know, where is it permissible?
Because we have to deal with the Chinese in China. So and this study was given the go ahead by UM. So this was something that UM has done, and so
I mean, it's an academic study, you know. It's about an open inquiry, you know, with a scientific method. We're not out to accuse anybody. We're not out to defend anybody. We're not out to offend anybody. We're just out to understand a problem better. So you can have that smile on your face.
do come back with more gems, yeah? Dr. Lee Hock An from University of Malaya, Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.